You're listening to iWine Radio.
Hi, this is Chris Kajani. I'm the winemaker general manager at Bouchain Vineyards. If you'd like to learn more about our wines, please come to our website at bouchain.com or come visit us in Carneros.
Thank you for listening to iWine Radio. I'm Lynn Crelo Chamberlain. Welcome to Wine and Dine. Joining us this week on iWine Radio is Chris Kajani, who is the brand newly appointed winemaker and general manager for Bouchain Vineyards in Carneros of Napa. And she came to Bouchain from Sainsbury right up the road, and she is a native of Napa and is very familiar with the Carneros district. And it's such a pleasure to make your acquaintance. I thank you so very much for your time. And I'm curious, what kind of horses do you like to ride?
Oh, well, first, let me thank you for having me on, Lynn. It's wonderful to speak with you. When I was a kid, my dad ran into somebody whose horse wasn't being ridden and ended up bringing home this, I think it was a four-year-old Arabian.
Oh, wow.
Right? And I was 10 at the time. So we had to figure out who was alpha, and it definitely wasn't me for the first year. I was on the ground and in mud puddles quite a bit. He would toss me off at every opportunity. But after a while, we became fast friends, and I feel like I can pretty much ride almost anything now.
Do you ride a Western?
Great training.
A Western saddle or English seat?
I was trained in English, and I ride Western now most of the time.
I grew up with horses myself also, and I am actually soon to be making a transition from the East Coast to the West Coast, and I hope that I will be able to maybe start riding again.
Terrific. Great way to explore
yes,
mountainside in
yes,
different areas.
Yes, yes. How do horses tackle a snake in front of them in the vineyard?
You know, the one thing about the vineyard and horses is coyotes. In the grand scheme of things, horses are great in vineyards. There's no issue at all. But every once in a while out here, because there's so many jackrabbits and delicious things for the coyotes to eat, you'll come across one. You'll turn a corner and there'll be one, you know, that's sitting at 3.5 feet high or so, staring you down. And horses do not like that.
Wow.
But a well-trained horse doesn't spook or do much. The coyote just runs off and that's that.
Oh, wow. I can imagine. I can just put myself right in that space, right as you were talking about it. What are you working on? I would imagine since you worked with so many vineyards in Carneros with your previous position, that you're probably a hands-on woman in the vineyard.
I do very much like to be in the vineyard pretty much daily during the growing season, especially now. We're probably about 100% through veration and just did a green drop last week on quite a few blocks here at the Bouchain Estate. There are some blocks that are a little behind that. The Dijon clones all tend to go first, and all the Pommard is probably sitting at 80% veration. So you start to plan when things are coming in. So we've been out there starting to sugar sample and see where we are with acids and sugars and getting those butterflies in the stomach for harvest.
So how is this year? I mean, is it stacking up to be a little cooler, a little warmer, a little slower? I mean, what is your comment? I know it's early on, but...
Well, I have to tell you that I have four different weather apps on my phone, and I get different weather emails on a daily basis from climatologists around here that focus on the wine industry. So it's all about Mother Nature at this point. One interesting thing about this year is that the marine layer that we typically see in Carneros, all that lovely fog that comes off the bay in the late afternoons and normally hangs out here in the morning till 11 or 12 even, that has not been present.
Really?
It's been pretty warm. No, it's been pretty warm. Even here in Carneros, we've hit 90 degrees a few days this week, which is pretty atypical for us to go that warm. So it's been sunny. And when you get all that lovely sun first thing in the morning and you don't have your fog layer, you tend to start to ripen a little quicker.
Yeah.
So I've been reading all the weather reports, trying to figure out when our marine layer is coming back. And it was back a little bit today, and they expect more tomorrow, and that tends to slow things down. And that's what we like, long, even,
right,
ripening seasons. There hasn't been any like real heat spikes, anything that would, you know, raisin or burn the grapes at all. But that being said, the marine layer definitely keeps it nice and slow. And for thin skin varieties like Pinot Noir and Chardonnay, that's just perfection. You keep your acids really high, your sugars accumulate very slowly, and that's why the entire Carneros region is planted to those grapes, because it's just phenomenal. So we are watching weather reports right now.
Could it possibly, I would imagine it's at least in the back of your head, be a situation where you find yourself having to harvest grapes earlier than you would expect because of this marine layer not being so normal, predictable?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. That definitely happens. And this looks to be an early year anyway.
Okay.
Maybe on par with 2014 or a tiny bit earlier. Bud break was a little earlier. Bloom was a little earlier. Veraison started pretty early, but it actually was a very long veraison. So we seem at this point to be tracking with 2014 or slightly earlier. But I remember 2008 where it had been a relatively cool year, and then all of a sudden in September it was 100 degrees in Carneros for, I don't know, 4 days in a row. And I think we brought in about 70% of our fruit in the course of a week.
Oh,
which
wow.
Is, yeah.
Stressful.
There were a lot of 18-hour days. It was really intense. And so things like that happen. Mother Nature basically runs the show, and our job is just to be aware of what she's going to do. And you do not have control in this job, as much as you'd like to think you do. The weather definitely is king.
Let me ask you to back up a teeny bit. And for some listeners, they might not know the term veraison and what that means. So could you please explain that?
So veraison is the time of year where grapes that are red actually turn red. They turn color, and the berry begins to accumulate sugar, and acids also will drop a bit. And this is when all the lovely tannin in the skin begins to ripen. And in a white grape, like Chardonnay, you'll notice that berries go from being pretty green and very hard to a little more of a goldy green, goldy yellow color. And they soften up, and they also accumulate sugar, and the acids start to drop a little bit. If you taste grapes, in fact, if you even taste some Chardonnay right now, we were walking through the vineyard, the acids are so tart that if you took a Granny Smith apple and you bit into it, but you had also thrown some acid on top of it, that's pretty much what it tastes like right now.
People don't make a verjus out of like Chardonnay grapes this early, do they? Just the juice.
Not quite this early. You tend to, if we're talking about the same thing, and I've never made it, but I believe that it's basically harvested Chardonnay juice.
Okay.
You're using.
Okay. So taking on the reins at Boucher Vineyards, a Chardonnay and Pinot Noir house, do you have any plans to start a new project or, you know, anything that you want to tweak and make it your own sort of a thing?
Well,
or
I'm
even
sure
in your dreams that you don't even want to mention out loud.
I am sure that we will definitely tweak a little bit. I was super honored to take this position from Mike Richmond. He's such a wonderful, wonderful person and such a great winemaker. But that being said, everybody, you know, has their way of doing things, and there's a million ways to make wine. So I'm sure there'll be some tweaks. But what I like to do starting a new job is to get in and really get a feel for that land, for those grapes, for this facility, and for our people, and see what works best. Obviously, the focus is always, always on the quality of the fruit, because that's where it starts. And then we just kind of roll into the winery and try and maintain the highest level of quality and basically not mess up what we've spent much time on in the vineyard. So that's the focus this year, is to really see what vineyard blocks are performing at their peak and which ones we can maybe play with a little bit, and then see what those wines tell us.
And probably in addition to getting, I'm just supposing, in addition to getting to know the different vineyards, is getting to know your staff.
Absolutely. It truly takes a village to make a bottle of wine. there is not only your winery staff, but people bring in interns. I don't know a winery that doesn't bring in interns. It takes a lot of help to get everything punched down, pumped over, drained, dug out, pressed in the barrel. It is unreal, truly like a mountain of grapes on the crush pad certain days. And all those hands are what really makes it happen. So having a kind of a well-oiled cellar crew and yes. then training your interns and getting everybody on the same page to do it at the highest level is really crazy. And it happens every year, and every year you learn something new. I my very first harvest was 2002, and I still learn something new every year, even if it's just about personalities.
Gosh, yes. Are you?
It's a lot of logistical time is spent.
Are you still accepting interns at this point in the summer, or are you all set for fall?
We are set for interns, but anybody who wants to come by and do a punch down is welcome.
Okay.
An extra pair of hands is always needed. I've had a lot of tasting room people tell me that they haven't had a chance to really do much in the cellar, and I was like, oh my gosh, put on jeans and boots and come on
right.
in. Like, there is always so much to do.
Right.
So
it totally changes your understanding once you realize how much physical work goes into it.
Exactly. Exactly. You look like someone threw a trash can on you at the end of the day. And that's really one of my interview questions for interns every year is like, if you think this is glamorous, you are going to have a real awakening, because it's a lot of like janitorial work. There's a whole lot of cleaning. And there's a lot of fun, and you get to taste tanks, and you get to see what happens during fermentation. But you also have to punch those tanks down or pump them over. You have to dig them out. You have to hand scrub the tank. Like, it's a lot of cleaning.
People always drop a few pounds when they do that kind of work.
They do. They absolutely do. Mm. They're lucky to work here, though, because the Copelands, who are our owners, they feed everybody at the winery every day during harvest, which is just fantastic. The entire crew sits down and breaks for an hour, has a meal together, has some camaraderie with our entire winery staff, and then boom, everyone goes back to work. But it's nice because people who, you know, don't have any energy make mistakes. So it's important to keep people fed and hopefully, you know, not work them more than 12 hours a day so they can get some sleep. And hopefully everybody gets a day off so they can do their laundry and go to the store. And,
you know. Wow. I wonder if they picked up that idea from Mr. Copeland's love affair with Burgundy. I mean, to be feeding the people in the vineyard sort of a thing, or is it just they want to create this intense sense of family and belonging and team building?
Yeah. I'm sure it's a combination of both. Because you're right, in Europe, and that's what people do. Everybody sits down and has lunch and a glass of wine together, and then, you know, back they go into the cellar. So I would not surprise me if Mr. Copeland said, hey, we need to do that too.
Are they actually on property during harvest, or, are they on the West Coast during harvest, or they come and go?
They live in Delaware, and they were just here for 2 weeks for this amazing, amazing classical music festival, Festival del Soleil, that they helped foster.
Yes.
Yeah, the 10-year anniversary. It was incredible. But they have been out for harvest in the past, and I sure hope to see them this year. So we shall see.
Well, this has been such a pleasure meeting you. I've never been to Beauchamp Vineyards before. I've been in the Carneros District, and I would like to come and visit the roly-poly land with the marine layer.
Oh, Lynn, you have to come out. Bring your boots. We can punch down a tank together.
Only one time I worked at a winery for one vintage, and I made the mistake. I'm not really good with hoses and all the different, I forget what they're called, all the different pieces of metal of hooking it.
Valves and clamps.
Yes. Well, I hooked something up wrong. And so I had an entire tank of Petit Sirah emptying out on me. And I was trying to hold it back with my hands.
And oh my gosh.
That was a memory I'll never forget. But I don't think I would ever want to take that responsibility again without somebody standing over me until I was really comfortable. Because it is a tremendous responsibility. There's so much money involved in all that juice.
It is. It is. You know, my favorite harvest stories are always when the interns come to you and they're like, my pump's not working. You're like, your pump's not working. And they've been pumping over a tank for 15 minutes, but unfortunately they pumped the juice out of one tank into another one. That happens. It's nice when they're both red wine tanks and one of them's not white.
Oh,
so.
Gosh. Oh.
I know. It's always something, though. Like, something happens every year, and you just, you know, your job is just to fix it. So,
Oh, my gosh.
And I have spilled and drained and done all that stuff, too. Everybody has. I remember one of my very first jobs, I went to sample a tank, and because I'm a woman, I thought, wow, I'm really going to have to, like, muscle this valve closed. And I went to push the handle of the valve closed, and it turned out to be a push-through valve, so it pushed open to the other side and then blasted me with Chardonnay juice.
Oh!
So,
oh!
There you go.
Oh! See, those kind of things we just never forget. It's like, it's like a terror that I did that. It was horrible, but anyway, it was better.
Everybody does it.
Well, Chris Kajani, we'd like to thank you so very much for joining us this week on iWine Radio. This has been such a pleasure meeting you, and congratulations on this new job at Bouchaine Vineyards.
Thank you. And truly, it's my pleasure to speak with you. Come on out to California.
You're listening to iWine Radio, first in wine talk. I'm Lynn Crelo-Chamberlain.